Today is December 5th, and scripturally wise, I'm going to talk from Matthew 3 about preparing the way of the Lord and decorating the church. Next Sunday, the 12th, I'm going to talk about the year of the Lord's favor from Luke 4. And I'm also going to cover our mission giving and our budget for the year 2011 on that day. And then December 19th, the board decided that's when we should have our Christmas program. And our Christmas program is again going to be what I call open mic. And so there is going to be an ability for you to come sing a Christmas song, read a story, do an act, whatever you want to do. But on the 19th, we're going to have that activity. And then the day after Christmas, the 26th, I'm actually going to read the Christmas story out of Luke 2. So that's what we're doing. It kind of changed a little bit from what I told you last week. We decided we would like to do Christmas before Christmas, our Christmas party, rather than after. And decorating the church today, we'll have worship up here, and then we'll go down and have some fellowship snacks, and then we're going to decorate stuff. So today is December 5th, the year of our Lord 2010. We're looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, the first three verses. And I titled it, Prepare the Way of the Lord, Prepare the Church. And my thought was, if you took those titles and made them into questions, prepare the way of the Lord, what does that mean to you? Prepare the way of the Lord, what's that mean to you? And what does prepare the church mean? Today we're going to decorate this building. Is that what we're talking about? Or is it something more intimate, personal in your life? As we're moving into the Christmas season, what is it each of us could be doing? What is it that God would have us do? And as you look at Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it says, in these days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, and this is what he was saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And he went on to say, this is what was spoke of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. So, there's about 30 years passed from chapter 2 of Matthew until John the Baptist bursts onto the scene preaching a message of repentance. Now, if you were going to start a new ministry of repentance, where would you start it? Would you go out in the middle of nowhere? Or would you go somewhere where there's lots of people? How would you do it? John went out in the middle of nowhere to preach this message of repentance. And that, I think that's relevant because you and I live there in the middle of nowhere. We could start something here that could affect them. If you were going to go and start a ministry of repentance, how would you dress to influence and impact people? Like him? Goat's hair, big belt? Or would you dress more like the guy in Texas in church this morning and tonight? Or California with the umpteen $1,000 suits and shoes? And the point of it is, God's way is a lot different. And if you were going to start a ministry, would you start out with, you need to change your life? I've handed out a number of these triad brochures to people, and I've had about a half dozen guys say to me, now, you know, I don't know about your marketing strategy. Maybe you don't want to tell people right up front that this is a commitment for a year, and at a year you're going to ask them to start a triad of their own. Maybe you want to wait till you're a little ways into it before you do that. Not John the Baptist, right up front. Change your life. Repent. So, let's prepare the church. Your first blank on your outline on the back is, let's repent. And this is one of the sermons that I'm preaching to the choir. You know, I could raise one finger and point at you, but all the rest of them are pointing at me, and this is where I need to live. And that's what would prepare the way for the Lord to make straight paths, is if I would be in the process of repenting. This is God's heart on this topic. I took it from Romans 2:4 out of the New Living. Here's what it says. Do you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does that mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from sin? And Oswald Chambers, he says in My Utmost for His Highest that the bedrock of Christianity is repentance. He goes on to say on another day, our repentance is merely the outworking of our personal realization of the atonement for which He has worked out for us. See, that center question in there haunts me. That I don't take it seriously. How much He's provided, how much He's atoned for, and I don't personally take that as serious as I should in my life. It's like it doesn't mean anything to me. I just go on living life like it didn't happen. And then I wake up and repent and come back. And I think that should be more of a regular pattern. The definition, repent, is to be sorry, to have a change of heart and behavior. It's a moral U-turn from sin to God. So, who would like to have a life of wholeness, joy, and peace with God? Anybody? Wholeness, joy, and peace with God. See, throughout Scripture it says that true repentance is the gateway to wholeness and joy and peace with God. So, here's one of two important questions on this slide. Have I come to Christ by repentance into salvation? Could you check that box, yes? Yes, I have repented. Yes, I have received salvation. Secondly, do I need to repent after salvation? I think the exclamation point kind of gives that answer away, doesn't it? If you're not born again, you need to be. I got the privilege of watching Avatar last week, and in that planet, everybody gets to be born twice. You're physically born once, and secondly, you're born again. You're born a second time. Are you born again? Have you had that experience in life? Do you know people that you're not sure whether they have? As God's child, I can choose to sin. Every time I turn to sin, I need to turn back to God's way by repentance. Every time I sin, I need to repent. I need to deal with that. Here's what it says in Psalms 119, 59, and 60. I considered my way, turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. It's no wonder King David had a heart for God. He considered how he was living. He turned his feet to his testimonies, and he hurried up and did that right away. That's the ideal. That's what we should do. Repentance means doing an about-face, 180-degree U-turn. So repentance means doing this about-face, 180-degree turn from the kind of self-centeredness that leads to wrong actions, such as lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, taking revenge, abusing, indulging in sexual immorality. How many of you think I had a hard time coming up with that list? Self-centeredness that leads to the wrong actions, lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, taking revenge, abusing, indulging in sexual immorality. It wasn't hard for me to make up that list, and I bet your life fits into that list. This is done in attitude and then in action. You change your attitude and then you change your action. So, will you put God first? In essence, that's what I'm asking you to do. Put God first in your life. Will you? Remember, repentance is a relational change, not a religious action. It's relational. You're coming back to love with Him. That's what repentance is all about. Improving your relationship with Him. It's not a religious steps to make. And if you put steps on it, then it's not relational anymore. It's a relational thing in your relational with relationship with God. That's what repentance is all about. A person who repents stops rebelling and begins following God's ways of living prescribed in His Word. You stop rebelling. You stop aligning yourself with Satan and the world. You stop walking after your flesh and you start living. In my case, start again. Living. So, will you put Jesus first in your life? Will you? Will you put Jesus ahead of everything else this Christmas season? Everybody else. The first step in turning to God is to admit your sin. That's on your outline on the back. The first step in turning to God is admit your sin. Then the second step is to let God love you, receive you, and help you live in a way He wants. I was trying to figure out how to illustrate that, and I remembered a Christmas not that long ago that it was late, and I had the idea that my children would like to have their toys assembled when they came to the Christmas tree in the morning, not the hour or the 45 minutes of putting it all together. They wanted to just get to play with it right away. So I was trying to hurry and put one of those things together, and I thought, I can figure this out. And after a while, I was frustrated and I was upset. It wasn't going very well, and I decided, well, maybe I should read the instructions. Right? And surprisingly, when I read the instructions all the way through and followed the instructions, it worked quite well. But see, that's the way life is most of the time. We just want to do it our way without reading the manufacturer's instructions. And even if we read the instructions, we don't want to follow them. We still want to put it together our way. See, that's rebellion. That's what we need to repent of. We need to look at the manufacturer's instructions, actually read the Bible, memorize the Bible, follow what it says. Do you remember reading this just Thursday? 1 John 1:9. This was one of the first 10 Bible verses I remember memorizing when I was 30 years old. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. I was 30 years old and I realized my life was a mess and there must be some system that God has provided for me to deal with this. And that's it. When I confess, He forgives me and He cleanses me and He leads me down paths of righteousness rather than the unrighteousness. Remember that only God can get rid of sin. He doesn't expect you to clean up your lives before you come to Him. We can't clean it up ourselves. I was playing with my 2-year-old grandson the other day, and he looks at me and he says, "Ach." And I said, "You?" "Yep." So the next question, do you want Grandma or Poppy? He wanted me. I got to clean it up. He can't do it himself yet. Right? Soon he will. Then I won't get to do it anymore. And I'm one of these weird people that absolutely love it when my grandkids can do that. Food goes in this hole, comes out that hole. That's good. Things are working the way they want, but he can't clean himself up. It's the same way with this. You just come to God and say, "Miach." Right? Clean me up, Dad. Clean me up, Poppy. Don't wait to get cleaned up. Just come to Him. Do we clean the church before we decorate it or after? We do both. It's the same way with repentance. You're always doing it. It's like cleaning and laundry. It's never done. You're always doing it. So Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He got the same message as his cousin John. Now, when you were reading Daniel the other day, chapter 2, verse 44, do you know what he was talking about? In this time, those kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring to an end, and itself will endure forever. This is Daniel in Babylon, talking to a king who saw this beautiful statue in a dream. This is when Daniel comes into the limelight. And Daniel explains, the head means this, the chest means this, the legs mean these. And the feet of clay and iron, that's the Roman Empire. And in the time of the Roman Empire, there's a new kingdom going to come. This is hundreds of years before it happened. Proclaiming to this king in Babylon that Jesus was going to set up the kingdom that we read about. Now, Isaiah, John, Jesus, and I teach that the message of repentance is good news for those who listen and seek the healing and forgiveness of God's love. But terrible news for those who refuse to listen and thus are cut off from all hope. Today Jesus reigns in the hearts of believers. But the kingdom of heaven will not fully be realized until an evil world has been judged and removed. Now, John the Baptist quoted Isaiah 40, verse 3. One of the greatest prophets of the New Testament quoted one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. John and Isaiah both urged people in their time to confess their sin and live for God. Can you see I'm trying to say the same thing? I'm asking you to respond to the same message. To prepare by dealing with forgiveness and in our lives demonstrating the teachings and the conduct of Jesus. And letting our lives have meaning and purpose. But repentance is the only way to do that. If you don't take serious this message of repentance, this process of repentance, it's terrible news for you. So, will you put God first? Will you repent? I like if-then statements. Here's one that we read just the other day in November from 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. It goes like this. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. I mean, here's the angels that had lived in inexpressible light. When they rebelled against God with Satan, he put them into dungeons, gloomy dungeons in heaven for eternity. If he didn't spare the ancient world but brought a flood to destroy the ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness and repentance, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, but made an example of what would happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives and the lawless men, if that's so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. See, if we repent, he'll rescue us. If we don't, it's not pretty. It's really, really bad. Jesus came to earth the first time as a suffering servant. He'll come back again real soon as king and judge to rule victoriously over all the earth. So if that's true, then are you ready to meet the king and the judge? Are you ready today? You know, we had friends who slipped into the ditch. They're safe. But there's no guarantee that you're not going to slip into something and not be okay. Are you ready to meet the king? Or are there things you need to repent of? Do you remember this from just yesterday's Bible reading in Daniel 4:27? Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Here's another preacher of repentance. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. Then it may be that your prosperity will continue. Did the king do it? No, a year later, he did something stupid and ended up wandering around for years like a wild animal. Please accept my advice, Daniel said. It's the same thing I'm saying. Will you honor God first with your life? Here's my conclusions. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus by preparing others to welcome him. Do you and the people who do not know Jesus personally need to be prepared to meet him? Yeah, we do. How do you do that? Repentance. Put Him first. Is there someone you know that may be open to a relationship with Jesus this Christmas season? Is there? Can you think of a better gift than them being born again? How will you help those around you to welcome Jesus? You know how you do it? You repent. You put Him first. You love Him best. That's how you get ready. Were Isaiah and John and Jesus markedly different in their lives than the other religious people of their day? Did they live different? Did they separate themselves from the evil hypocrisy of the day? And did they live different from other people? They did. They were still among the mess. But they lived different lives among the mess. They didn't separate themselves from it. They lived in it righteously. Will you consider doing the same thing this season? How do you do that? Repent. Put God first. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, humbly we fall before You. We need that kind, tolerant, gentle, patient God that You are to lead us into the paths of repentance. I pray that each one of us, me leading the way, would seriously consider and apply the repentance that You provide, that we'd admit our sin, that we would be willing to let You love us and help us, and we'd follow the instructions in Your perfect, holy Word. And would You please bless us this season with Your wonder, not to get all wrapped up in all the junk that Satan and the world makes Christmas, but preparing our hearts and lives for Your kingdom to come into our hearts. And making us right with You so that we could help others down that path. God, I pray if there's anybody listening to this message in this building or on the World Wide Web that doesn't know You, that they would come to You in a personal way, confess their sins, confess their need of a Savior, accept Your forgiveness, accept Your love, and they would be bold enough to tell somebody about that. So I thank You so much for what You have done. I'm excited about You, what You will do. Lord Jesus, we pray in Your beautiful, holy name. Amen.